All right, I'm going to read a short poem and then a sort of longish poem. The short poem is called Sonnet to Rain, or Sonnet Silencio. Hushed middle crescendo, hear the cowboys clanging occasionally. For the hell of it, as if falling spirits weren't caught by anyone, but picked up from the plain by hard white hands. It's hard to talk about the dry, about what should or shouldn't be, but still you want something. If the worry was resting, you wouldn't have it this way. You would agree and cool your frown, your harsh black Roman text. Now here comes the rain, with a capacity for change. Only time will tell. La vida, derecha, echesta, la chaste, thrust. Live the drought, eat bad rhyme, shout, give back the land. My hair's too thin to mimic a downpour. Okay, I'm gonna, this next poem I'm reading because the last time I think most of us were gathered was at a literature conference in Wagga Wagga, which is a small town in New South Wales. After that conference, I drove to the coast and like went surfing for a few days. And it's kind of like a journey that traverses all kinds of terrain, like as if you were to sort of drive from maybe somewhere like sort of towards the edge of Nevada, maybe Utah. I don't know how long it would take to drive to the coast from there, but something like that. And you know, you totally would do that because there's great surf in Northern California. So you know, so you drive to Northern California to surf. Anyway. So this poem is kind of like a sort of sketch of that terrain. I also want to say that I just want to say that I'd like to just acknowledge that the spirit of a very dear friend is very much present in this language, and that, you know, the name of this friend is Martin Harrison, and I'm drawn to acknowledge this because his spirit was sort of so alive for me in Nick Key's piece as well. And he's alive, you know, his spirit is alive, and so many of us here, you know, as we all know, Martin Harrison is a wonderful poet and critic who passed away a couple of years ago. So this is called Wagga to Coast. So what happens as you come out this way? The town sort of dribbles out, it sort of whimpers into nothing. Then you're flying over slopes or through them. Your music's playing, you dip in and out of it. Your hands are light on the wheel, signs are passing. The land's velvety, shimmering, brain green. You remember something your mum said about it. The sun's still low, so winter's long, spindly shadows fall from the trees. Slow wind ruffles the paddocks and shakes free droplets of light. You see lots of austere trunks too. They're looming, collapsed. Lonely in a field or climbing a slope, occasional choirs pattering about in a huddle. Everything's very matte, very earnest. It's only when huddles of rock start to crop up in places that you can imagine getting out of the car, stopping by the side of the road, getting out and scrambling about for a while, feeling your leg muscles awaken, push you from the earth. But you pass a few semis with sheep stuffed into trailers, their dirty wool bulging through the grills. Some of them are watching you, their eyes black as pits. You decide to keep going for now. You change CDs, juggling the wheel with their silly cardboard cases. Better that than a floating mess of MP3s. Once you pass Canberra, it's pretty clear that things are getting fluffier, more reflective, the glass spilling over, eroded enjambments. And out towards Braidwood, the trees stand up to you, showing off their shining white and burgundy muscles, bearing down on you with all the darkness of the forest behind them, with all the myriad roots of their kin behind them, going back so far, going back all the way, their grey and gnarled bulk, their staggered stories, and what a lover once shouted at you from within the folds of her form. After all that, what you're coming to, changing one hand on the wheel for the other, one alternating with the other, what you're coming to is the end of the journey. But before it happens, you start to occur, clusters of fern greeting you with verdant explosions as you begin the descent to the coast, almost like feather dusters soaked in afternoon light, almost like soft bedding in which you could rest after your hardships on the thinner roads, those thinner roads further back, where you were cutting through those wild woolly places crammed with tomato timber. Those trees thrashing their heads together, meshing their heads together, the millions of leaves in their heads meshed together, scraping, cutting each other, millions of sharp, oily leaves chopping up the light and the wind, buffeting the remnants of your day, collapsing your life into a lone, sorry line, pushing obstinately against whatever it is you're searching for and hoping to touch. So the fernia protrusions marking the descent to the coast are a relief. Even the ocean sighs with cool, fresh forest. You know you are coming this way for a reason. You know there's something to be said for racing past the spongy floodplains and the turnoffs to the entrances of national parks. Now there's a paler sky. There's an old farm shed at a corner with a roof going golden in the slant. What's going on now is that you've found a turnoff. You've reached the end of a gravelled cul-de-sac by the beach. There are tubby rosellas picking at things over by the car park. There are Banksia buns scattered, and creamy trees are knotted up with childhood times, and those times with other times, with sawleaf and bird fiddle, beak clap, their fingers stretched out, or closing a little, but thicker than fingers, and clumped, the hands of hundreds of careful, immovable custodians, covering your thoughts as the day is sucked into stars. In the lunar mode of the following dawn, with those quartz holes through which almost any thought can escape, you'll fly back to the lull of that long line and the way the paddocks rolled out for you, with certain trees pointing, and the part where you turned and left it, all of it in terms of squinting and looking at the watch, and the paddocks will morph into dreams. Now you look into them as if atop a cooling parabola before it falls into the sea. Soon these things will stop repeating, and the waves, with the whole coast watching, will fill with the bloodied milk of a split sun. So, thank you.